Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come, Lord, and gather together with our church family, freely carry a copy of your word. Lord, we ask that you'd bless the time together. Bless the message, I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to speak on the subject of living spirit-filled. Living spirit-filled, there's a slide on the monitors and the rotation. Oh, it's up there now. We keep adjusting things and I forget what. Sam says, can we do this? Well, we'll put this over here and we'll put this. And, I asked the main question, will it cost us anything? And he says, no. He's like, well, okay, let's try that out. So he's been putting these slides together. So I was like, well, if you were paying attention to the slide, the monitors before the service, you get a little heads up as the scripture and the subject. And I know there was some people like that. You know, they want to know what's going on. There were some years ago, there were people that when I was leading music before the service, they wanted me to tell them the songs. Just so they know, you know, it's like, not like, oh, because I'm going to, warm up, you know, they just wanted to be in the know. And so there's a little clue, you can be in the know as to what the sermon's going to be about if you look at the monitors when you come in. But talk about living spirit filled. Our theme, the abundant, living the abundant life. We all, like I said before many times, we all want to say, you know what, I want to live that abundant life. You know, we want to abound with blessings. Abound. I think I'm saying the wrong word. We want to abound with blessings. But the thing is, there are some things that we need in our lives if we're going to have the abound with blessings, if you will. In one of them, we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be filled with this Holy Spirit. You know, there are those that, I think it wasn't too long ago, Sam mentioned in Sunday school, we as Baptists, we shy away from that, being filled with the Spirit, because other groups have kind of hijacked that, I think he said. And that's true. You know, we say, well, you know, in the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, somebody going to start running around, you know, in gibbering as they run around. And, you know, as we know, that's not the fact. That's not the case. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And the thing is, when we get saved, the Spirit comes in. And the question really comes down to how much of the Spirit, how much are we willing of ourselves to let the Spirit control? You know, maybe you have somebody drops in unexpected, and you see them, and you know, maybe one of the, hey, who's that pulled? Wait, that's so and so, and maybe you throw a bunch of stuff in one of the rooms and shut the door. You know, and what is it? You know, we'll keep that door shut. They won't get in. They won't go in there. They won't see the mess that's in there. You know that, and that's kind of a simplistic explanation or example. But there are many times we as Christians, that's how we are with our lives. You know, we want God involved and we let the Spirit have control of different areas. But then there's some areas that we don't want Him to have any control of. We just assume He not even realize that, you know, there. What it is, back to the classic, there's nothing to see behind the curtain, you know. Never mind that the man behind the curtain there, you know, Wizard of Oz, you know. The fact that you know, we want to not let him have control of everything. But we need to have let the Holy Spirit have control of every area of our lives. We're going to look at a few things here. We're going to see first the reasons for being Spirit-filled, being filled with the Spirit. There's some reasons. We see first, the first reason is obedience to God. It's obedience. In verse 18, it says, we see that it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, we need to, we're being told we need to be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to be the Christians that we need to be, if we're going to be Christ-like, we need to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. We need to follow His, not follow self. We need to follow the Spirit. Well, you know, the different things we were talking in Sunday school. As I mentioned, we started a new series. And part of it was, telling folks. And we need to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. You know, a soldier, he'll take orders and he'll carry out those orders till the orders change. From what I understand. Who knows? That seems like that kind of stuff's changing nowadays. And you probably don't. There's probably some soldiers that don't want their feelings hurt. But, you know, that's a whole nother channel, as they say. But the thing is, we need obedience to God. And it says, we see it's the presence, be filled. You know, we need to continue to be filled. You know, that old flesh, it had like nothing better than to start creeping back in and taking control of an area here or there or whatever. But we need to make sure that we stay in control in the area, as far as what I'm saying is, make sure that we guard ourselves and let the Spirit have control. Because if we're not careful, the old flesh will, you might say, you know what, I need to let the Spirit have control. But you know what? You're going to have to do it tomorrow too. You have to do it the next day. Because that old flesh will be looking for any area, any chance to start taking over again. And the thing is, we need to, because it's obedience to God. It's another reason. It's an obligation to God. Obligation to Him. We need, in everything we do, we need to be Spirit-filled. There are those that think, well, surely when I come to church, I want to be Spirit-filled. Or maybe when I'm, when I do my devotions, when I take time at home and I read, well, you know, I want the Spirit to help me there. Well, you know what? We need Him in every area of our life. We need the Spirit in every area of our lives. We need Him, yes, in our worship life. What does it say in verse 19, 20? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. We need Him in our worship life. We need to, and that would be one of those things like, well, I would include Him in that. You know, we say, even those that aren't letting Him in every area of their life, they say, well, in our worship life, He belongs there. You know, but you know what? We need Him in our wedded life too. As far as to be the kind of husband that I need to be. For ladies, to be the kind of wife that you need to be. You need to be Spirit-filled. If we're not the Christian that we should be, we're not going to be the spouse that we need to be. You know, we're not going to be the parent that we need to be either. Or grandparent. Yes, I got it in again. And probably about 3 weeks running now. And I got it. I got pictures. I'll show you later. Or I'll just show you in the back there. And the fact that in our wedded life, you know, Being married, it's not always easy. And you think, don't anyone, fellas, don't shake your head. And the fact that, but you know what? I think we'd all agree, we need God's help to have the kind of marriage that is pleasing and honoring to Him. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit helping us. But then not only that, in your work life. In your work life, Ephesians 6, the next chapter over, verses 5 through 9. It talks about this. Verse 5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him." We need to be Spirit-filled in our work life. You know, nowadays, that's something that seemingly no one considers. But we need to be Spirit-filled in our work life. In our work, here's something you don't usually hear anymore: work ethic. You know, the honest day work for an honest day's pay. What is it nowadays? Like, honest day's pay, well, I deserve a lot more. You know, and it's all, you know, and that's how a lot of people think. I remember, I think it was Zig Ziglar, you know, I'm paraphrasing, the idea that if you want to earn more, start making yourself, basically make yourself more valuable. But there again, it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, what's that have to do with, you know, with church? What's that have to do with God? He tells us that we need to be Spirit-filled. And we need it in our work, too. We don't need it, we need it on Sunday, yes, we do. But we need it every day of the week. And in whatever we're dealing, in every area of our life, we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Not only your work life, but we see also your war life. Your war life. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We need to defeat the devil. We need it in that spiritual battle. And the fact that we're never going to be victorious if we go not Holy Spirit filled, but if we go in our own power, in our own strength, thinking that we can do it on our own. You know what? If the devil convinces you that you can do it on your own, guess what? He's won already. He's already got the W, as they say, I guess. In different, I don't know if it's in all sports, but some sports. But he's already won. He does. You know what? What is it? Game over. He starts attacking you and got you convinced that you don't need to have the Holy Spirit's help. Done. We need him. You need him in your war life. But not only that, And there's another one that we probably would agree on, I guess. Your witness life. Continuing in chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that... And for me that utterance may be given unto you, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. We need when we're soul winning, when we're witnessing to folks, we need to have that Holy Spirit's power. You know, the fact is, we go and we do carry out the Great Commission, but it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. What does they say? You can't save anyone. I can't save anyone. You remember the story that Dad tells how that a little kid told his parents, there's the guy that saved me. He led him to the Lord. And he said, no, I didn't. I can't save anyone. And that's true. We share the gospel, but the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts. And if we're trying to share the gospel and tell folks about the Lord without the Holy Spirit's power, we're not going to be very effective at all. And we're not going to see folks saved. But not only that, we see the obligation to God, but we see another reason, the opportunity before God. Back in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to have the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can tell folks about Him while there's still time. We need to tell them, we need to testify and tell folks about Him. We need to have a testimony that lines up with what we're telling them. You know, if we're living one way and telling them, and trying to say, well, you need the Lord, and you're living like the world, you know what? That doesn't line up. They're going to see that inconsistency. And we all know that no one's perfect. But just because no one's perfect doesn't give us the go-ahead, if you will, to just live however we want. We need that Holy Spirit's power. We see the reason. We see the requirements for being Spirit-filled. We looked at some of the reasons. We see some of the requirements. First, we see conversion. We need to be saved. It needs to be a time where you've asked the Lord to come into your heart and save you. You realized you were a sinner. You realized you were on your way to hell. You realized that Jesus paid that price for you when He came and lived a sinless life and died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. And you trusted Him. And I've said it many times. The world wants to say, oh, we're all God's children. They want to, oh, can't we all just get along? We're all God's children. And they want to make it. But you know what? That sounds, it's a comforting statement, but it's not true. The fact is, we're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. And the thing is, we need to first be saved. If you're not saved, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you. But not only conversion, we see a commitment. A commitment. We need to be committed to it. Like I said, you can yield to the Holy Spirit, but we need to keep yielding. We need it because, like I said, if it's not something that we continue doing, Sooner or later, and it'll probably be sooner, that old flesh is going to start taking back ground. That old self, as it implies, it's selfish. It doesn't like giving up that control. We need to be committed to it. Then we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, we see claiming. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Do we believe that if we yield to Him, He'll fill us? And He will. The Holy Spirit, believe the Holy Spirit can use you. Think of all the different stories, different men throughout history, and women that God used. So, obviously, in the Bible, the different Bible characters, how that God used them in a mighty way. But there are those in history who God used. Sam was mentioning that in Sunday school this morning. Different men that God has used, and how was it that they were used by God? Because they allowed themselves to be controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. A lot of times it wasn't that person had these great skills. You know, they were a great leader or a great orator. You know, no, they were just willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. Let God use them and be filled. So we see that claiming, and not only that, not only is there requirements, we see the results. There are some results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. What are some of those? We see three. We see, first, relationships will change. Relationships will change. We see they'll change towards God. Our relationships will change, the relationship with God. You know, it kind of go from that, I'm a Christian, so I got to go to church. I'm a Christian, so, I probably should tithe. You know, the Bible talks about tithing. I should, I probably should pass out a tract or two. No, it'll turn to you get to do it. It's my honor to do that. It's a privilege to be used by the Holy Spirit to tell folks about Him, to tell folks about the gift of salvation. And you get excited. You'll be excited about it. You're gonna go running around. Oh, yippee! No, not like that. Maybe sometime, I'll tell you what, you win a soul or two, and it kind of gets addicting. You're looking for the next one then. But our relationship towards God will change. You won't be one of those heard people say before, that person, they fell by the wayside, they just burn out. I never liked that statement, because here's what it is. It sounds like, well, he just worked so hard for God that, he just ran out of gas for God. Like God couldn't take care of him. You know what he was? He ran out of his own strength. He ran out of his own power, because that's what they were doing. I just burn out for God. No, it's because you were doing it in the wrong power. If you're running on the Holy Spirit's power, and if you're doing what the Holy Spirit leads you to do, and you're leaning on Him, and you're getting the power you need, and lean on Him for the strength and the power to do it, you know what? You're not going to burn out. He'll be there for you every step of the way. It's only when you try to do it on your own But you know what? Don't be trying to blame it on God. You know I was working harder than God even wanted me to. You know, and I burn out. No. Quit fooling yourself. Not only that, the relationship towards others will change also. You know, you'll start having a different attitude towards others. You know, like a little more love towards others. A little more forgiveness. You know, we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. But our attitude, one of our customers saying something? They made the statement that we've all heard before. She said, if you walked a mile in someone else's shoes, it's like basically you'll like them or you'll understand more about, you know. You won't be upset. I forget how she worded it, but I'd heard variants of it. Basically, you know, if you'd walk and put yourself in their shoes for a bit and see how they see it, well, then you know what? It'd be easier to understand. But you know what? If we look at others and our brothers and sisters in Christ or the lost around us, if we look at it through as filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? We'll see them differently also. If we're filled with the Spirit, we'll see them one way. If we're filled with self, we'll see them another way. And you know, that's not always easy. You know, somebody cuts you off. You know what? It's like, it's hard to be Spirit-filled then. You know, it's like, well, they were giving me sign language in the car. You know, that's not right. Well, you know, it's like get all upset. You know, that's not spirit filled. That's a self wanting to get back at them. And hopefully you just get angry and you don't sign back to them. But the idea of our relationship with others will change. You know, in the idea that not only our relationships will change, but our reactions will change. How we view situations. Once again, I think we mentioned this Wednesday night. It's easy to say when you're not the one going through it. It's easy, you know, I'm going to minister to somebody. You know, they're having a hard time. Let me go minister to them, and I'll say all those, the statements that sound so good when we're telling them to somebody else. But they don't sound so eloquent when somebody's telling them to you and you're going through the hard time and they're telling them to you. But our reactions will change. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the verse says, "In everything give thanks." You know, when things are going well, it's easy to thank Him for that. Got the nice weather, the dry weather, the snow's gone. It's sunny out. It was all, thank you, Lord, for that nice day you've given to us. And that's something basic. But I don't know about you, it's hard to, when you're trying to shovel out your driveway, when you're over digging out your daughter-in-law, you know what, it's not... I think I forgot to thank God for that one. But our reactions will change. How we see things will change. If we see them as things that God's using to help us, to mold us to be what He'd have us to be, if we look at it that way,
when we're filled with the Spirit. Filled with self, it's always, why me? Why is this happening to me? You know, why did God let this happen? Why is it me and not so-and-so? But our reactions will change. And not only that, we see reality will change. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Galatians chapter 5, begin reading in 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We'll see the reality will change. We'll see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We see that list that we read. You know, that's lacking in a lot of folks' lives. You see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, there are a lot of Christians that those things, you don't see too much of that in their lives. But you know what? I can't do anything about that. But you know what I can do? I can work and yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit to fill me and to guide me and see those things in my life. I can't control what you do. I can preach, well, you need to be Spirit-filled. And I think we'd all at least give that lip service. Yeah, that's right. But the thing is that's as far as I can preach it. I can't make anyone do it. And really, would it do any good if I could? You know, but the thing is, it's something that you have to do. We want to have that live the abundant life. Well, the thing is, we're going to need to be Spirit-filled. We're going to let the Spirit have control of every area of our lives. Not just church, not just worship, but at work, at home, in our relationships with our family. And the thing is, we need to let Him have control, full control. And if we do that, we can have live that abundant life. We can abound with blessings. We'll have those characteristics that we see there in Galatians, but only when He's in control.